To Kōrero Kai Pakihi, the business news, here is Nicholas Poynton. Kia ora anō.
Kia ora Susie. Ata Marie, good morning. Coming up in today's programme, desperate property buyers take on big risks, post-lockdown rebound unlikely to be repeated, and I'll have the latest from the financial markets. While a shortage of property listings is pushing buyers to place big offers on defective houses with unconsented works, Real Estate Institute numbers recently show the number of properties available for sale at its lowest ever level. Auckland law firm TM Bates Co. says it's come across examples in recent months where desperate buyers are eyeing up defective properties they would otherwise ignore in a more normal market. Solicitor Tim Bates says unconsented work may hurt a property's future resale value, create insurance issues, or result in a council order to bring the property up to standard at great expense. He says his advice is to avoid such properties, although he admits that's been falling on deaf ears recently.
The client or the would-be purchaser knows that there's going to be another, 20 people, 25 people, 50 people interested in that house and turning up to that auction, and it's going to be a pressured buying situation where they're going to have to put their best dollar forward. So where the purchaser does proceed and ignores that kind of advice and doesn't take the discount into effect, they need to factor in that they have got this problem.
Tim Bates says buyers of defective properties need to weigh up the cost to correct the issue or realise they may not be able to extract the value they want out of the property in the future. Well, consumers and businesses are being warned not to be overconfident of a swift rebound in activity the moment restrictions are eased. Recent data has shown a hit to consumer spending, as expected, and it's now shown through in manufacturing with a sharp slide in the index measuring activity in the sector. Production has come to a near halt, and sales, orders and deliveries all suffered harshly. But employment levels remained above average, indicating firms are optimistic that activity will improve. However, BNZ senior economist Doug Steele says that might not be the case.
I think that there is a sense amongst forecasters that there's some sort of complacency that we're just going to rocket out of this like we did last time. That might well happen, but I don't think it's a given. And the longer it goes on, the more pain that we're feeling. So we'll have to see how it evolves. But for now, at least, I think the numbers in the PMI show very much a reality check that lockdowns are extremely painful.
And a slump in a similar survey of the services sector is due out later this morning. The financial pressures of COVID lockdowns are not translating into company failures or receiverships, but they are forcing financial restructurings. The Restructuring, Insolvency and Turnaround Association, otherwise known as RETANS, says government support measures such as the wage subsidy and resurgent payments look to be keeping many businesses afloat. The association's chair, John Fisk, says the pressure is showing through in cash-strapped businesses caught out by disrupted supply chains. He says import-export businesses are needing help to improve their capital position.
When you have problems trying to get containers to export the products, or if you're waiting extra long time for imports to arrive, all those sorts of things have implications on cash flow. Those sort of things aren't going to be fixed overnight, unfortunately, and they're going to be challenges that businesses will have to deal with over the next 2 or 3 years.
John Fisk says Inland Revenue has been taking a lenient position on companies struggling through the lockdown, but that is not expected to last. Well, turning now to the markets, and Wall Street ended sharply in a broad sell-off over the weekend, ending a week buffeted by strong economic data, corporate tax hike fears, the Delta variant, and possible shifts in the US Federal Reserve's timeline for tightening its monetary policy. So that saw the Dow Jones Index fall down about 0.5%. Both the broader S&P and the NASDAQ were down nearly 1%. Our own local top 50 index starts the week at 13,235. That's after Friday's 155-point gain, the strongest one-day session we've seen in a month. The dollar is trading at 70.4 US cents, 96.8 Australian, 51.2 British pence, 0.600 euro, 77.4 Japanese yen, and 4.56 Chinese yuan. Brent crude oil was down 33 cents to $75.34 a barrel. That's as US supplies affected by Hurricane Ida trickles back into the market. And gold, it's flat at $1,754 US dollars an ounce. And some news just to hand, the Australian is reporting that two Chinese funds are eyeing up local pet food company Ziwi Peak. Fountain Vest Partner and Boyu are lining up for the business, which has been valued at about $1 billion. They are reported to be going head-to-head with other keen buyers such as Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, Carlyle and the food giant Nestle. Ziwi Peak was founded in 2002 by Peter Mitchell. And looking ahead to what else is on this week's business agenda, on the company front, the main events are the full-year earnings reports for outdoor goods retailer Kathmandu and the dairy giant Fonterra, with a crop of shareholder meetings. On the economics calendar, the latest look at the services sector coming out later today, which will obviously show the effects of the move into the lockdown. And there's also an overseas trade and a global dairy auction for good measure.